Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. Y'all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
All right. Are you all ready to get this bad boy going, Steve Harness?
I'm ready. I was born alive. Not ready, but alive.
You were born alive. I've never thought about that. You are actually born alive. That's one fact. You just already told a fact on the show.
Thank you. I keep it real. A lot of people say I was born ready. Were you really, though? I kind of doubt it. I don't think you were ready.
You were laying there, embryonic, sloppy mess with blood on your body and a connection to your mother.
A powerful start to the show.
That is the truth. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. It's our political week in review, ladies and gentlemen, and we welcome you to the show.
Welcome to the show.
That's right.
Yeah. Indeed. Hey, you can check out our website if you're old school like that. It's thevocalminority.net. Social medias, they're out there. They're on the tic-tac thing. We're on Facebook, Blue Sky, Reddit, and of course, we're on YouTube, all over that thing.
Yeah, doing it on the Really American platform. So thanks to all our live friends. Steve Harness is the man with a plan who will watch the chat as much as he can. So, yeah, comments on the show. We appreciate him. You can also dial a phone and make a comment. 844-48-VOCAL. Use your telephone as a microphone and get vocal with the Vocal Minority.
Yeah. Welcome to a Friday, everybody. It's never a dull week in the world of politics nowadays, and this week being no exception whatsoever.
Yeah, that is true. Did the did this week leave you feeling any more anxious than you normally feel, or how'd you skate through the week? Let's get 1 to 10. How'd you do?
Well, I'm a 10, because we're kind of making a living off of all this garbage right now, so that helps me embrace it. I look at it as a daily or weekly challenge to fight for humanity. So that gets me up and going. If we weren't doing this, I don't know how I would be tolerating it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know. I guess, sadly, we kind of look at part of this as this is all just kind of feeding the machine, right, to keep us going and keep people informed. So, I'll take it for what it's worth. Yeah. Well, we can try and give you some good news throughout the show. I don't know if we have any. We have some funny stuff. Right. Funny things are happening. So, yeah, we can comment on some of that stuff. But, let's get right into Need to Know News.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paul Harvey. Rolling over in his grave as, I don't know, freedom of speech is under attack. The free press is under attack. We got television networks bending over backwards. It's a fun time.
Can you imagine someone like Paul Harvey? Or, I mean, I don't know. Paul Harvey's a favorite of mine. That's why he's on the show. But Cronkite, can you imagine some of these folks just reporting on the news of today?
I would imagine they'd be insanely disappointed. I mean, not only in the news, but of what journalism is doing nowadays. Some people are stepping up, yes. Other people are just bending over. And I would also think, hey, Cronkite would just be, you know, gobsmacked as to what the hell is going on in this country. Like, you know, you think back to Watergate. That's trivial at this point.
It is. You're right. Even the Dan Rather. I mean, we had Dan Rather through, well, most of the first Trump administration, and he tried to keep things tempered and positive and hopeful. I haven't seen Dan Rather for a while.
I think a lot of quality journalists were broken by all of this stuff, and Dan Rather's on the list. So I don't know. Enjoy your retirement, I suppose. But so news of the day. I don't even know where to start. I think let's start with the most recent thing going on, and it's kind of on this topic of Trump just going after everyone. And I'm starting to feel like he thinks America, whether it's businesses or colleges, that we're just like a piggy bank. You can sort of hold upside down and shake out until a bunch of money falls out.
Completely. I mean, in every aspect of everything. You know, I heard this great reporter from the BBC. I wish I knew her name, but to be honest, I'd never seen her before. I saved her to my favorites, but I don't know her name is my point. She was talking about the fact that, you know, everyone's saying like, oh, Trump has done all these wonderful things. And even Caroline Levitt calling for a Nobel Peace Prize, you know, all these maggots. Like, it's time for Trump to have a Nobel Peace Prize. No one has ever, in the history of Nobel Peace Prizes, there have been people who have received it that haven't deserved it, but no one has ever begged to get a Nobel Peace Prize the way Trump is. She made the comment, like, if he gets it, I can just see it now. He will no doubt have people come to the White House and charge $500 or whatever to take a picture with the Peace Prize. You know, he'll turn them into belt buckles. And you know that's true.
Yeah. I'm on the fence. Part of me thinks, just give him a freaking Peace Prize so he'll shut up already. But no, we cannot reward this man with that sort of honor. Anything that Obama got, he wants, and I want him denied as much as possible. And I don't know, I haven't read the fine print on the Nobel Peace Prize rules, but can convicted felons win a Nobel Peace Prize? Is there anything that eliminates you?
Who knows, dude? I like to compare it to like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame handing out, you know, an award to Hanson. You know, like it just makes the award null and void. So if he does get a Nobel Peace Prize, it'll just become a joke. Like no one will really think it's a serious thing anymore. So
yeah, no, it's very fair. So the latest in the Trump versus humanity thing. So we've been watching him go after the elite colleges, the private colleges, you know, Harvard probably being the biggest one. But this week he turned his sights for the first time on a public school, a public college, and no surprise, it's in the state of California.
Oh, really? I'm new to this story. I haven't heard this story. So, yeah, bring it on, dude. This is kind of exciting because I can't imagine how he would fit into that.
I don't know. It's exciting is the right word. Probably depressing is a better word. But.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. So welcome to it then. The Trump administration is seeking $1 billion. Yes, I said billion with a B. A $1 billion settlement from the University of California, Los Angeles, better known as UCLA. This is according to a White House official today. So here's the deal. The Trump administration suspended $584 million in federal grants earlier this week after the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division announced it had found UCLA violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. So here's the thing. Last month, UCLA reached a $6 million settlement with three Jewish students and a Jewish professor who sued, arguing that the university violated their civil rights by allowing pro-Palestinian protesters to block their access to classes back in 2024. So okay. I've heard a lot of Trump talking about everyone's anti-Semitic all of a sudden. I think that's an easy bell for him to ring.
Sure.
It does appear the UCLA did step in it to some extent. I mean, that's a $6 million settlement they came up with.
Okay.
But then why does Emperor Trump, is this what we're doing now? We're just going to let, you know, some sort of civil matter work itself out, and then the emperor is going to step in and issue additional penalties to you? And if the settlement was for $6 million, where did he come up with $1 billion as his sort of counteroffer, what he would like from them?
Okay. To answer your first question, that was my first thought. Like, it's done and over with. Like, they settled it in court. Second answer to your second question is that's what they call a statement lawsuit. You know, my wife sees them all the time. She's an attorney. When somebody comes up with an egregious number like that, $1 billion, like, you're technically trying to make a statement more than anything. But for Trump, I think he wants the money, dude. I think that he's really going to, you know, he's continuously throwing out figures we never used to hear, billions, and now trillions. You know, we're hearing that like it's just water. So, yeah, I think he wants the money, dude. Normally, a statement lawsuit is what you would call that. I don't think so in this case. I think he wants the money.
Yeah. Why not just sue for a quadrillion dollars or something?
Yeah.
And then
no
offer
kidding.
To come down a little from there.
But, yeah.
This is, I mean, he's doing it under threat of stopping these federal grants. $584 million for a public college is not nothing. And, like I said, I don't think it's a coincidence he's going after anything in California because he wants to hurt Newsom and his least favorite state as much as he can. Even though California produces more than any other state in the country, you can combine all other 49 states and California still produces more.
Third largest economy in the world. And I will tell you that I don't know the exact figures to this, but Gavin Newsom has cited them many times of how much California doesn't take in grant money like that. They spend so much more out of their reserve, and they're paying for other states to be supported. So, in the grand scheme of things, does that make a big difference? Well, yeah, because it's not right. You know, it's not right to the citizens of California. You're everyone's president, whether we like to admit it or not.
Yeah, exactly. No, California definitely puts out more than it takes in federal assistance and grants and all that kind of stuff.
By a lot.
The country, would be completely screwed without them. And, Newsom also standing up this week, last week or two here, over this blatant gerrymandering garbage going down in Texas.
It's absolutely nuts what's going on down there right now with some Democrats hiding out in Illinois, in Chicago. That thing is really starting to blow up, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait to see how it ends. I mean, these Democrats cannot possibly just stay gone until 2027, go past the midterm election. So I appreciate the showmanship that they're doing, but I don't see it ending well. They're going to have to go home eventually. And this garbage of the FBI looking into them, they've not broken any law, certainly not any federal laws. So that's just a complete overreach and abuse of the FBI by none other than cross-eyed Kash Patel.
Yeah, and Greg Abbott's already threatening to take away seats, like elected seats. What's going on down there is crazy. If you don't know what's happening down in Texas, what would be the easiest way to describe it? They're just trying to redraw some lines to pick up more seats. Is that the easiest way to say it?
Well, they're calling it redistricting, and what it actually is gerrymandering, obviously. And I saw Abbott, speaking of someone who needs a seat taken away from him, sorry, wheelchair joke, he's trying to say that he wants to make sure everyone's entitled to their vote there in Texas. And obviously, everyone can vote in whatever district they're in now. The blatant reality is that Trump is worried about the midterm elections next year. So he went to Texas because they have loose laws that allow this sort of garbage. Normally, you redistrict every 10 years with the census, but they decided to do it now. And as we know, they got five, if it passes or when it does eventually, they'll gain five seats. And part of me hopes Texas sees that garbage and votes those five seats Democratic. I mean, that would be hilarious. But, obviously it's being done for partisan reasons to essentially rig a national election. And the irony is Gavin Newsom is threatening to punch back, and so is, I believe, New York State and Illinois. But all of those states have laws in place that sort of make it hard for you to do this because we don't like gerrymandering. So we set certain states up so you really can't do it. But now we want to do it for, noble reasons to try to offset the garbage that side's pulling. And it's going to be difficult. I know New York probably can't do it until after the midterms.
I think you're right. And also, let's make the point that not only is Kash Patel looking into this, but he was instructed to hunt them down.
He's looking into it. We're making inappropriate jokes. It's a little blurry when he looks into it, but he's looking into it.
You know, usually they say when eyes are bulging like that, that you're a cocaine freak. That's usually what causes either that or wet AMD, something like that. Yes. But cocaine would be my guess. I don't know. That's not, it's just a guess. So.
Yes. Yeah.
But my point is, he was instructed to hunt them down like their dogs did. I just think that's not real. That can't be real.
Well, for hunting down dogs, I mean, obviously Kristi Noem should be heading up that task force.
Right. Yeah, I think you got the wrong man or woman on the job.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, Trump continues to overexert his authority in an attempt to shake money out of anyone and everything. And I'm really getting sick of people bending over for him and coming up with these settlements. Major colleges, Columbia's done it and Harvard's doing it and businesses are doing it. He called on the head of Intel to resign this week, like the president putting his thumb on the scale of a private business and trying to force out their CEOs. And I don't care if he's warranted or not. Like, what happened to the Republican mantra of states' rights or not interfering with businesses? Like, let business do what it is, free market. So if Intel wants to fire their CEO, I'm sure they can. You don't need the president weighing in on that, let alone trying to force it.
It's a funny thing that you bring up. I've got a little video I'll play for you that piggybacks off of this. First of all, we'll talk about the fact that not only is stuff like Steve just mentioned happening, but when you're talking about kissing the ring, bending the knee, lubing the butt cheeks, as it were, Tim Apple, or, you know, we call him Tim Cook, but Trump calls him Tim Apple. He came into the Oval Office today. Or not today, this week, rather, and brought in a nice little present with him. Let's see this video.
The ring for President Trump. It's a unique unit of one. It was designed by a U.S. Marine Corps corporal, a former one,
that works at Apple now.
It's good. He's done well.
Designed it for you.
And the base comes from Utah and is 24 karat gold.
Congratulations,
thank
Mr.
you
President.
Thank
fantastic.
You so much. Isn't that nice? We're doing these things now in the United States instead of other countries, faraway countries.
Okay. Yeah, it is so nice. So I saw that and I was just like, oh my gosh, dude, another one bites the dust, because we're not idiots, right? We think about these people like Zuckerberg and Bezos who were the first to fall, but we were like, you're so powerful, you're so rich, like, why are you kissing the ring? I saw this influencer that made a point that I thought, I haven't really ever thought of it this way before.
Okay, now normally I would never say anything nice about a billionaire ever, but you know what? That move that Tim Cook pulled today, I see you, Tim Cook. You know what? You're not as stupid as the rest of them. Now, in case you don't know, Tim Cook pledged to invest $100 billion into the U.S., and oh boy, was the Orange Clown so excited to announce that. And not only that, Tim Cook brought the Orange Clown a fun little trophy with his name on it and like some gold on it, because he loves gold. That's his favorite color. Now, the Orange Clown was so excited to say that companies like Apple, they're all coming home. That's what he said. Except they're not. Those companies are never coming home. By now, I think most countries and most people have figured out how to deal with the Orange Clown, which is basically you kind of placate him. You give him some fake promise that sounds really good that he gets to say on TV. And then he leaves you alone. Nothing he promised them is coming true. No tax on tips. No tax on overtime. Those Doge checks. Free IVF. Remember that one? They're not getting that. But now here's the reason that I kind of respect Tim Apple. He already pulled this move on the Orange Clown one time before. Do you guys remember in 2019? So Tim invited the Orange Clown to come tour this brand new Apple facility that was making computers. And the Orange Clown got to run around and say, look at me, I'm the best president ever. This is happening because of me. Here's the thing. That factory had been operating since 2013. And shortly afterwards, they moved that entire operation to Thailand.
So, dude, what do you think about the fact that people are just placating him with a promise? Because a lot of these promises, like she mentioned a few that even Trump has made, that's, you know, kept MAGA involved, kept him excited, but don't come true. And a lot of these things, you know, take the Coca-Cola, for example. They say, we're going to use whatever type of sugar, you know, we're going to change our formula. Yeah. So that hasn't happened. We haven't heard about it for a while. Like, what if these companies, just for safety's sake, are placating him until he forgets?
Yeah. I mean, it would be a smart move because he is gullible. And I'd stop calling him a clown there, Blondie. Like, that's very insulting to clowns. We've established that already. So stop with that.
But,
listen, it's an easy trick to pull. And she is right. You give him something shiny with his name on it, and he will just be fixated on that. And I wonder if it is a 24-karat gold base, or if it's spray-painted gold, like all the crap in the Oval Office in the background of that video. But, you know, no, she's not wrong to either say we're going to do something, and then you just pretend it never, you know, know, I didn't mention that before. See how long you get away with it. Or it's something your company was going to be doing anyway. You were going to already open a new factory or invest more money into AI or something. And then all you got to do is just tag his name on it. And yeah, you get so much latitude with that guy if you do lick his orange little clown sack. So yeah, she could be exactly right.
I'm going to be looking at, because you know what, I'm so pissed off at every person who steps up and appeases him or tries to give him a little glory with things that they're doing. You know, I'm pissed off, but maybe I'm going to start watching a little closer to be who's playing chess here. Who is appeasing him to keep him off their back, you know?
Right. No, and I will tell you, people like Tim Apple are in a very, they're in a shitty situation because they are running very large, very profitable corporations. And you got to straddle that line between standing your ground and what is the cost of doing business? You know, what's the difference between paying a new tax or paying some money to this jackass to get him off your back? Isn't that what we pay the government for everything, basically, to get them off our backs?
Exactly. And you brought up a good point with me a long time ago. Having never been a large business owner, you said, you know, some of these people are worried about, they got employees to worry about. You know, they're thinking about not only the runnings of their companies, but, you know, all the jobs that they're sustaining. So I get it a little bit, but not a whole lot.
No, that was always my criticism of good old Leon Musk over there at Tesla, that people like to say he's some sort of genius or whatever, but he's a terrible boss because he has said multiple times, like, I don't care, cancel your advertising, don't buy my car. Like, he's going to go home to the mansion at the end of the day anyway. But you're a terrible boss if your first concern is not your employees, your investors, your shareholders, all that kind of crap. So I don't care what you did invent or anything else. If you're doing wrong by your company, you're not a good boss. And, you know, talk about F around and find out. I mean, Elon Musk is officially I just read the survey the other day. He is the least popular person on the planet. Not just in America, the least popular person living on Earth today. And Tesla is down just huge to the point that another article I was reading, like, Tesla may not survive 2025.
Yeah, I would like to take partial credit for that. You know, all us Dems, all us libs, I'd like to take partial credit for that. But in the end, I mean, he did it to himself. I mean, all we did was call out disgusting behavior, right? So, and stayed on it.
He was warned repeatedly that you are destroying your reputation, you're destroying your companies, and he did not care. And I don't think he still does care. So yeah, you know, some CEOs can get away with it, but as we've talked about before, like, I don't see Tim Cook, Tim Apple up there on stage with Donald Trump, whereas Leon Musk was right up there and, you know, front and center.
Chainsaw.
So he deserves a little more brunt.
Yeah, he does.
And yeah, the chainsaw thing that he said, in hindsight, I think that may have lacked empathy.
I don't think you really know what empathy is, but good try, dude.
Exactly. So, all right, there you go.
Pretty interesting stuff. You talked about school a little bit. I've got a video that I want to play for you, Stephen Harness. You know who Charlie Kirk is, founder of Turning Point USA.
I mean, I wish I didn't. And I will honestly tell you, I don't think I've ever watched one of his videos that I see circulating online. And I sure as hell have never actually sat down to watch his podcast. He goes to the college campuses a lot, right?
Yeah. I was thinking, I mean, he's an asshat completely. I mean, he's good at what he's done. He's riled up a base and he's got a huge following. But that said, I would like to make a remark on his barber. Like, his barber, it's time to retire, bro. His hair is just, every time I see him, I'm just like, what is that? So anyway, here's this video of Charlie Kirk, and somebody at one of the college campuses asks him a reasonable question.
Do you think that there should be free school lunch for all children?
No.
Why?
Of course not. Because parents should feed their kids, not the government.
What if they can't?
Go get a job.
A child?
The parents should go get the job. Yes. This is important.
They have jobs and they can't support their children. Stare, because the minimum wage is so low.
No, you are in time, dude. Don't give me this stuff.
Okay.
Don't give me this stuff.
Go get a job, dude. I can't tell you how many people that I personally knew growing up. Luckily, I don't know a lot of them right now, but growing up, I knew a lot of people, including my parents at times, that worked very hard, you know, all week till it was dark outside, you know.
Go work harder.
Go work harder, right? I just want to make the point here that this is exactly what I think of not only just MAGA in general, but Republicans, that they look at everything so myopically. They don't look into the future and see how feeding kids and making sure that they have breakfast and lunch helps them to learn. But we make a lot of money off feeding kids. You know, I think directly about $18.7 billion was the investment in 2021 to feed kids for, you know, breakfast and lunch.
Right, because the food is being paid for, so a company is making money off of it.
Yes. Right. But beyond that, there was a $21 billion in net profit after feeding those kids in the return that was, you know, put into our communities. People can, you know, those parents who want to work harder, they can work harder if they know their kids are being taken care of in those ways. These kids learn more. They get better educations. They oftentimes, you know, are just put in better situations. This pays off long term. Not only that, but the health in healthcare. This pays off long term, because when you have malnourished and starving kids, that creates a lot of health problems as you get older that, you know, the government's probably going to have to pay for at this point because we didn't take care of them in the first place. So,
well, you're assuming they're looking long term. That's the another problem with Mega World.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you cannot. We always talk about this news cycle now being so fast that a story used to stick around for a month. Like, everything is so quick now that you guys are even more tuned in to one day at a time of what is going on. You don't look into the future whatsoever, and it creates bullshit like this, dude, where kids don't get fed. Like, what skin is that off your back? For the, you never knew it was happening before.
Right. Yeah, it didn't hurt me before. No, for sure. I've also talked about the fact that, let's just say, this sort of myth out there of the old welfare queen that, you know, Reagan came up with, that somebody's just living off the government. They're eating Cheetos and laying around on the couch all day and just living the good life on the government dime. Now, first of all, no. I mean, you cannot live the good life off of what SNAP and all of those other benefits pay. But, if I have to pay you to not break into my car, like, if that's what keeps you from going on and committing crimes, well, that's a benefit to society as a whole. But I remember years ago, I had a conservative boss. This was before MAGA, but she was a conservative douchebag. And we argued about politics a lot. And I came in one day and I asked her, I said, hey, there is a new tax program being introduced where your tax dollars are going to get reinvested into your community. Doesn't that sound great? Because everyone's like, I don't know where my tax dollars go. I don't know what it's paying for.
Sure.
Your tax dollars, Nick, will go to your town. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. I mean, it seems pretty great.
And for every dollar that is spent, it's going to generate, and I forget the exact number, but it's like $1.50 in return. So you're spending the dollar and you're getting an additional return off of that. And that, what I'm describing, is the SNAP program. Because, you see, poor people spend the money where they live because, A, they can't save the money, and, B, they're not traveling to the Turks and Caicos and spending the money there.
Right.
So
yes.
You're giving them a dollar. They spend it in your community at your local businesses, which generates tax revenue, which generates the money for those stores to pay for their employees, and they can go shop. It generates economic activity in your town with your tax dollars. So there is no disadvantage to that. And if you're going with this myth that it's a bunch of criminals just laying around all day, then fine. You're keeping them out of my car then. So
yeah,
it's a benefit everywhere. You're just being a selfish prick if you subscribe to the philosophy that no one deserves a handout in this world, not even starving kids that can't make their way through school because we don't want to spring for a free lunch.
work harder. You know, I mean, that's just correct. Like, that's what the government's going to tell those parents. Like, go work harder and then we won't have to feed your kids. Okay, see how that works out for you.
And by the way, it doesn't just benefit so-called poor families, all right? So, you know, I'm in California. My kids went to California schools. And at least in the high school level, kids get free meals all day long. Doesn't matter what your, you know, what kind of family you come from, poor, rich, or whatever. But that then saves me money that I can then spend on other things for my kids or paying the bills or whatever it is. So even if I could technically afford to pay for that lunch, the fact that it is free saves me money, and there's a whole ripple effect from that as well.
That's exactly right, dude. That's what they are. It's a ripple effect. All of these programs have ripple effect, and it is net positive. I've seen those videos of like people going and, you know, they are getting something at the grocery store and they're being attacked because they're buying, I don't know, I'm just going to use a Twinkie as an example. Oh, you bought a Twinkie with your food stamps. You know, that stuff's just made to get vegetables and protein. Like, who are you, dude? Who are you? They're
not
spending money.
Cheap, crappy food goes further. So if you're only given $50 a week to go spend at the grocery store, you're not buying nice steaks or something. You're going to buy as much cheap crap as you can because you got to stretch that as far as you possibly can. So, yeah, it's a bit of a cycle for sure. And, yeah, screw Charlie Kirk in every way possible.
Yeah, completely. I just cannot stand the people that judge when they haven't walked in these shoes. You know what I mean? Like, it's really easy, and it's really pitiful, and it's just really cruel, and it goes back to Elon or Leon Musk. It just lacks empathy, dude. To not feed kids is fucking tragic. So there. Yeah.
I had to unfriend a friend of mine, because he was going on this whole tangent on Facebook about, you know, that people at McDonald's don't deserve to make $15 an hour or $20 an hour. Like, that's an entry-level scrub position. You deserve to be underpaid. If you want to make more money, go get a college degree like I did, and then you can make more money too. Mm. Problem is, I know this guy's family. They paid for him to go to college. And that is a luxury that not everyone can afford. So it's very arrogant to say, just go get a college degree. Like, it's no big deal. Yeah, it's no big deal to you because your family paid for it. But someone who's got to work their way through school or take on years of debt and all that, it's not so easy to just go get your degree and just make more money. Not to mention, there's tons of white-collar jobs going away and highly educated jobs like AI and cutbacks. It's rippling as well.
Yeah, and what an asshat, dude. You don't think that your parents paying for your college is also a handout? I mean, it takes handouts to get things rolling sometimes. And, it's just crazy to me that Charlie Kirk would ever say that about kids getting lunch programs paid for. It's minuscule amount of money. Yeah.
And it wasn't Charlie Kirk featured on South Park, which I think is an insult / compliment that he doesn't deserve. He deserves the insult side of it, but
yeah,
you're basically, taking somebody to a higher notch, to a higher level when SNL parodies you or South Park parodies you. So he's become that known.
And he supposedly took it that way. I mean, he made a video right after. He was like, you know, I finally, well, just like Vance, I finally made it. I finally did it. Like, no, they're laughing at you, dude. You're a laughing stock. It's not a compliment, you know.
Right. But to them, it kind of is, to piss off the libs or whatever. Like, they're all about owning the libs. That is, I think, what almost all of their philosophies are based on, just how badly can we screw over liberals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're up there like Satan, and Satan's famous enough, too, to be on South Park. But
right.
I don't think it's a compliment, but here we are.
I've got some South Park clips if you want to go over what happened this week with the South Park world, and we can play some clips if you want.
I would like that, yes, because I have some Christy Gnome news as well, and I know she was featured in there.
Okay. All right. We'll start off with the Christy Gnome section of South Park. I don't know, dude. Everywhere I've watched this video, most people have been giving a trigger warning because, I mean, if you don't like to see animal cruelty, even on an animation level, like, you probably don't want to watch this, okay? So,
right. Yeah.
But here's Christy Gnome's starring role in South Park.
You will now watch an orientation video featuring the director of Homeland Security.
Welcome to the team, recruits. I'm Christy Noem, head of Homeland Security.
Well, she seems nice. Okay, I'm pretty.
A few years ago, I had to put my puppy down by shooting it in the face. Because sometimes doing what's important means doing what's hard.
Whoa, whoa!
Now we'll ask the same determination of you. Because detaining and questioning people is never easy.
No, God!
As the face of Homeland Security, I'll be leading the way. And together we'll make sure everyone is in this country legally. So let's get out there and get them, recruits. Together we can make it happen.
Wow. Pretty spot on, right?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you sort of brought that upon yourself by being the puppy shooter and being proud of it and defending it. And I don't know, did anyone get a total count how many puppies she shot in there? I know she shot one in heaven. That's got to be an extra sin or something.
Yeah. So, I would think so.
So Christy Noem said that after she saw that it's so lazy to just constantly make fun of women for how they look. It's only the liberals and the extremists who do that. If they wanted to criticize my job, go ahead and do that. It's only liberals that criticize the way women look. I wish I could think of a mega example of somebody who criticizes the way women look. I'm just blanking.
Rosie O'Donnell?
Dog face, not my type. She's ugly. I love the lack of self-awareness in Megaland where they say shit like that only liberals and extremists would make fun of the way a woman looks, where they're working for Trump, who's been doing that for his entire freaking life, or that they say, like, you know, no one's above the law in this country. Laws apply to everyone while they're working for that guy. Like, I mean, it's hilarious. And
what was F your feelings? I mean, we've heard that plenty of times. You know, I will say that I have a harder time making fun of someone's looks when I'm just making fun of the looks that, you know, God or birth gave them. Like, you have manipulated yourself into, I mean, I don't want to use the word clown because, again, that's an insult to Bozo. But, I mean, you have manipulated your face into looking the way it looks.
Well, and she's made a almost career at this point out of modeling for all of these different little roles she takes on.
Yes.
I mean, I've got like 50 pictures in my folder right now of all the different outfits she has had because I'm constantly using them for various videos and stuff. And
yeah.
So maybe don't make your looks and killing puppies your entire image, and maybe then South Park will not be making fun of it. Because Matt and Trey, they're not just going to make fun of you because you have a lazy eye or whatever. Like, they're not just being dicks about it. She has made her looks and made shooting puppies front and center. So
completely.
Yeah, that's what they're going after. And I know you hate it when I say this, and I hate it too. God, she is good looking. Sorry. It's not an endorsement of her, but she is a MILF. I'm sorry, okay?
I think it's disgusting, dude. I think that's so disgusting. that you cannot see past. Like,
Of course you can't.
You still get a boner, dude. You still get a boner. You still chub up a little bit when you see her. And B, the fact that she is so lip collagen and, you know, filled, and just her face is all distorted. Like, it's just, I mean, it's not for me. I mean, it's not for me.
There's some Ice Barbie looks I like more than others. And no, I'm not blinded by the horrible person she is. I've been criticizing her for years, even before she became Trump's, you know, lapdog here. But I think it's disingenuous to just pretend like my eyes don't work. Okay.
No, dude, you don't have to pretend like your eyes don't work. It's just the fact that what is standing in front of you still makes you horny, and I don't understand it. I don't understand how you could be horny by that.
Listen, she's not in my spank bank or anything, okay? I'm just saying I have two eyes. And Carolyn Levin, too, like, I'm not trying to marginalize women or anything, okay? I'm just stating a freaking fact here. She is an attractive individual, okay? Not the only one that has thought that or said that, but it drives me a little nuts.
Did you see that creepy video of Trump like talking about Caroline Leavitt's lips? Her lips are so sweet. And yeah, yes. You're not objectifying women. You're not trying to, but listen, maybe you are.
Again, I'm not trying to say that Trump is right about anything, but he picks attractive women for roles. That's almost, I feel, his main, if not only, criteria. So I'm just stating the obvious. If a farmer has a field full of red apples and I say, hey, those are red apples, am I wrong now? Am I not supposed to see the obviousness?
Oh, it's just subjective. I guess if you knew that that apple was rotting from the inside, you wouldn't still say, it's a beautiful apple. You'd say, that is one sick apple, man. Christy Noem was not the only people made fun of on South Park. Should we see how J.D. Vance took to South Park?
Sure. I'm just reading some supportive comments, by the way. Some people are
okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm just saying. All right.
Yes, welcome.
Go ahead. J.D. Vance, sorry, who was not attractive at all.
Okay. Fantasy Island.
Who remembers that show?
Relax. Take a load off.
Buzz, the plane is here from Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
I know, stupid. Let's go. Hey, buddy. Welcome to Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President.
What is his fantasy, boss?
Hey, will you get out of here? Listen, buddy, I want to offer you an incredible opportunity. How would you like to make more money than you ever thought possible?
Well, I do have a pretty huge nut.
Now, that's the kind of talk I like. Mar-a-Lago is for everyone that's got a nut. I'm giving you a promotion. You'll have access to all that Mar-a-Lago has to offer. I want to make you the new face of Homeland Security.
But, Mr. President, I thought Christy Noem was the face of Homeland Security.
Well, she was, but her face freaks me out. So what do you say?
See, he doesn't like it.
I do need a high-paying job.
Excellent. Now let's take care of that nut for you.
Satan.
Hey, Satan. Meet the new face of Homeland Security.
Whoa! Oh, my God!
I just want to go. This place is gross.
Would you like me to apply the baby oil to Satan's asshole, boss?
Okay, look, I think there's been a misunderstanding. I'm going to take a little break here.
Hey, come on! Relax, guy!
Wow.
Pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
Wow. I'll tell you, I made a Milli Vanilli joke on Really American recently, and someone was like, really? Milli Vanilli? Like, that's real topical of you. Fantasy Island. I mean, I know our generation barely remembers it. Someone older than us does, but that's maybe you don't have to know what Fantasy Island is to still find that funny, but that's a funny reference to make.
Yeah, Fantasy Island was always funny. So if you don't know it, it's still kind of funny to be like, you know, the plane. I loved it. I thought, once again, hit it out of the park. So
yeah, South Park is creating a real conundrum for liberals or people down the middle right now, because a lot of us just canceled our Paramount Plus subscription when they fired Stephen Colbert, but South Park is on Paramount Plus too, so what do I do? I think I signed up for the 30-day thing, binge watch South Park, and then just cancel, you know.
Or just get the clips online, dude. I mean, you can pretty much find it. You just can't watch it, you know, right when it comes out. But you can watch it a couple hours later.
Well, that's true. That's what this show is here for. We're passing it along for you. So there you go.
Yeah. You got something, or I got more? What choose your pleasure, dude.
Sorry, I'm just watching people arguing on YouTube.
About what? How hot Christy Noem is?
Yeah, there's a little debate going on about Christy Noem, for sure. You know, people have opinions.
All right.
You can be good-looking and evil, okay? It's certainly possible.
I don't know, dude.
Are we done with South Park? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Speaking of the plane guy right there, what was that guy's name? Like Toto or something?
No, but something like that.
Yeah, so anyways, J.D. Vance is in the news this week, who seems to be constantly on vacation. Every freaking time I read about this guy, my kids were just in Disneyland, and they were there the day that he was there, and he made all that news for vacationing in the hellhole city of Los Angeles.
Yes, yes. And then, is funny. He never seems to go to, like, Turks and Caicos, you know. He's just traveling our 50 United States.
Yeah, well, I believe he actually is in Europe right now, though. But speaking of that, though, and this is not my story, so I'll get to that in a second. Did you see this garbage about J.D. Vance taking a kayaking trip a week ago? I believe it was in Ohio. And they opened up the reservoir to flood the river with more water to raise the level to make his kayaking conditions better.
No, I did not.
It's a real story.
Wow. You would think as a public servant, you'd be like, no. Don't damage something or cause any issues for me. Like, you know, I'll just do what the normal people do.
No, instead he used his position as a public, you know, servant to, yes, call the people in Ohio there. And yeah, raise the water up for me. I'd like a little better conditions. And this has been confirmed, but the Secret Service is jumping to his defense, as I guess they do. But instead of taking a bullet for him, they're taking bullshit for him. They said that this was to create safer conditions for him, which makes the Secret Service's job easier if he's safe. So it wasn't to make it a better kayaking experience. We were worried he'd hit a rock and die or something, which is obviously garbage.
Yeah, we weren't worried. No one was worried about that.
Right. Exactly. God works in mysterious ways. So
he does, dude. He does.
But anyway, so Trump this week, a lot of people have been asking, wondering, who is the heir apparent? Where is this going in 2028? Assuming Trump doesn't run again, who he again this week made another comment about running in 2028, but I don't think he's going to live that long. I don't think we're going to let him burn the Constitution if he does live that long and do it. But so he made comments this week. President Donald Trump has given his strongest endorsement yet on who in the Republican Party can replace him. And yes, it's the little midget there from Fantasy Island. On Tuesday this week, he said that J.D. Vance will most likely succeed him with some possible teamwork from Secretary of State Marco Rubio, which is a very specific comment. And he said, I think most likely, in all fairness, I mean, he is the vice president, heir apparent to MAGA. So, first of all, that's a very specific comment. J.D. Vance along with Marco Rubio. Is that a prediction of president and vice president? Because they have to be chatting about that already then.
Dude, let me just say this. Please shoot me in the head. If that's even a possibility, dude, I can't go through that. I mean, I'm already struggling to get through what's happening now. Little Marco and J.D. Vance, I mean, that would be a nightmare, dude. So, yeah, it's exactly, however, it is exactly what the founders and architects of Project 2025 are hoping for. So
correct. That is correct. J.D. Vance was a big player in all that, and they are hoping to essentially usher in the era of MAGA by, yeah, handing the crown down the chain there. But here's the thing everyone has to keep remembering, that Trump, and I haven't figured it out and no one else has, Trump has some magical ability where he's the head of MAGA and we let him get away with everything. I've never understood it. I never will understand it. But that magic is not transferable. A J.D. Vance, I don't think he could win an election to save his freaking life, not a national one. So I honestly think, and I know I've regretted saying things like this before, I think that would be a gift to the entire country if J.D. Vance is who any Democrat could run against. Because I think any Democrat would trump J.D. Vance because he does not have that weird magic that Trump does.
You're right. I mean, yeah, you're right. He does have what appears, because of the way he looks and speaks, he comes off to some of those asshat Republicans as, you know, a moderate-tempered guy. Like, he's smart, he's educated, and he could do... So, yeah, I think that it's dangerous on some levels. But yeah, I see what you're saying. He doesn't have the charisma. I mean, he can't talk to people. Whenever he tries to use Trump's put downs and kind of get in the locker room, he sounds like a buffoon. You can see right through him. So yeah, I think you're kind of right about that.
Yeah, I just don't want somebody to run in 3.5 years that has some sort of charisma. And I don't know who that is exactly. It may not even be a current Republican. But we don't need some other Trump-like figure, some other celebrity or tech billionaire, somebody that's got some charisma. We don't need that. So if J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio are who we have to go up against, yeah. I like my odds. So let's see what happens.
That's a good way to look at it, dude. I hadn't thought about that. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But you're right. There is no charisma on that ticket. And, you know, all the people that lust after Trump that never voted before, but now voting is more important than anything, that will go away when that magic of Trump dies down. We saw, I mean, you can even look at it with Elon Musk. I mean, Elon tried to get into that pond and swim with the insults and, you know, acting just like Trump and being a part of that. And he was outed fairly quickly.
Right. My other worry, though, about J.D. Vance potentially running in 2028 is, as I predicted here on the show a week ago, J.D. Vance could run in 2028 as the incumbent president. And incumbents always have an upper, you know, the upper hand. They have an advantage. By which I mean Trump may die in the next 3 years and J.D. Vance will be the president in 2028 and will be running as the incumbent, which that would be a much scarier situation. In a lot of ways, but then again, Trump's gone. So that's a mixed blessing right there.
Yeah, it's I'm riddled with anxiety over what's going to happen. There's so many different ways things could play out, but yeah, all of them are somewhat dangerous. So the midterms are going to be very revealing.
Yeah, there's a discussion going on about gold plating in the White House in the chat room there on YouTube. And people, I posted a video this week. That stuff in the White House, it's a straight up fake. Like, people have matched it to things you can buy at Home Depot, like frame for frame, and you spray paint it. And Trump did this whole thing where he spontaneously was like, you know, you can't paint something gold to make it look like real gold. Like, why would he mention that just randomly? Because obviously it was on his brain because he's staring at it going, yeah, that's spray painted gold. So I better tell this reporter that you can't do that.
No one's
been able to do it, invent gold paint.
They've never perfected it, never looked. Looks just like the real thing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hobby Lobby would beg to differ. So, yeah, Home Depot, Hobby Lobby. Yeah, it's where all that crap comes from. So, it's just, I mean, every time I see the Oval Office, it looks more and more ridiculous. It looks like a college kid's room, you know, posters. It just like posters everywhere. And it's just all, anytime you add a cherub to a situation, like things have gone awry.
Right. And am I really supposed to believe all of those cherub things and all of those frilly accents? Those are all 24 karat solid gold.
Yeah.
I mean, there's $20 million worth of gold accents, apparently, in the Oval Office, because that's a practical use for your gold.
And if anything, that should piss you off if the president has that much money and he's flaunting it, right?
Yeah, take that cherub down and get a vet a hot meal for the next 10 years. You know?
Yeah. 100%. It's funny because, you know, we haven't talked about Epstein on this episode today, and we're not really going to talk about Epstein on the podcast today, except for a very brief moment. I hate to call him an influencer because I think he's so much more than that, but do you know who Tizzy Ent is?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, he's all over TikTok. I've watched a lot of it, but we feature some of his videos on Really American. Some of the hosts will take some of his videos and, you know, give him props and research.
Yeah. So I thought this was, here's just a short video of him talking about a survey that was recently taken that floored me, blew my mind, and maybe it'll blow yours.
So a research group called Ledger 360 recently released their findings from a series of polls that they took that they titled Trump, Epstein, and the American Party. And one part of this in particular really stood out to me. A section titled "A Potential Impact of Trump's Implications on the Republican Voters." This is what was asked. If Donald Trump was officially implicated in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking activities, would that make you more likely to vote for another party? Or would it not affect your vote for Donald Trump? And out of polled Republicans, 47% said it would not affect my vote for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
47% were perfectly fine and would still vote for him if it came out unequivocally that he participated in the trafficking of children. My friend, USMC Angry Veteran, pointed out that if we're just talking about the people who voted for Donald Trump in the last election, if that 47% represents just them, that is over 36 million Americans. Over 36 million Americans don't think sex trafficking of children is a deal breaker for the person who runs the country. Also, I think worth noting, 26% said not sure or prefer not to say. 26% were like, I don't know if that would change my mind. Or were like, I mean, I know what I feel, but even though this is anonymous, I don't want to tell you.
Exactly.
Hey, dude, what's, I mean, that adds up to over 70%. So, yeah, I mean, the majority, by large, of Trump supporters, it doesn't matter. Yet you're screaming from the rooftops, not only about the Epstein files, but about Save Our Children, child trafficking, sex trafficking as a whole. Like, it's just all bullshit, dude. It's all bullshit.
Yes. Yes, 47% said they wouldn't care. The other 53% are lying because they wouldn't care either. And yeah, Tizzy nails it when like 26% didn't know. They know. They just know they don't want to say that kind of thing out loud because it would make them look terrible. You and I have been saying for years that if Trump got caught banging five-year-old boys, MAGA world would find a way to justify that. That's what the Greek emperors did, or it's you know, Obama is against it, so we're for it. Like, it does not matter. And this is what I was talking about earlier. That is a magic that only Trump has. J.D. Vance cannot get away with that. Marco Rubio cannot. Trump, it does not matter. He is correct. He can go on Fifth Avenue and shoot someone, and people would still vote for him. So, because they want to own the libs, and they're part of a cult. So, I think 47% is dramatically off. It is way higher than that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, I guess when you look at it in terms of people, that would, with both of those percentages, that would be close to 50 million people don't give a crap. Like, that just blows my mind and leaves me very hopeless for humanity and where we are as a nation.
Yeah. And so many of them are projecting. I forget what state it was. There was some mega, you know, a state elected official, a woman. Her husband, who was all over social media that I'm voting for Trump this election because he's against human trafficking. He's against, you know, sex crimes for kids. The guy just got arrested by the FBI for having over 300 images of naked little children on his laptop. So people in that world often project. It's the same thing when they're homophobic and then they're caught blowing a guy in a truck stop restroom. Like,
yeah.
They're preaching what they're worried you're going to figure out about them. And Trump is the king of projecting.
Completely. And that is not just once in a while. That is time and time and time again that we see exactly what you just described. So,
yeah. A couple of comments coming in. Those people are beyond reach. Yeah, spot on. This is disgusting. We need to clean house. Yeah. 86, Agolf Twitler. 86 Agolf Twitler.
Oh, that's pretty good one, dude.
That's great. So, yeah, I appreciate the comments there on YouTube because we are live right now. So,
hey, dude, I also want to salute the judge real quick that stopped all construction on Alligator Auschwitz, the concentration camp, just for even if it's for a couple of weeks. The environmental folks are taking a win on this one and shutting it down. Any movement we can make, I say, is a good thing. So kudos to another judge who stood up and did the right thing.
It's clear by every report we have heard that there are just inhumane, disgusting conditions going on there. And again, the definition of a concentration camp is when you have way too many people in a small place based on their ethnicity or, you know, country of origin or whatever. So it's absolutely a concentration camp. And what do you think about the proposed Speedway Slammer coming to Indiana? Did you catch the flack on that this week?
I did hear about it. It's sick, dude. I can't believe. And like you made a point a couple of weeks ago when we started talking about Alligator Alcatraz, like, let's not call it what he wants us to call it, because it's obviously a name to make it sound neat and fun and Disneylandish. Right. Let's just call them out for what they are.
Yeah, and I hate that, but that is how we start to go by these things, because it's what they're called, and they are good at branding. You know, for as messed up as Mega World is, they are good at branding, just by evidence that we call them Mega. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, my dad again the other day was like, it's MAGA, it's not Mega. I'm like, it's a made-up word, so there is no actual correct way to say it.
And hey, Dr. Harness, potato, potato, they're both the same thing, okay?
Right. But the Speedway Slammer thing, did you hear the blowback from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that is located nearby? Yeah, so the name is a nod to the famous, you know, motorsports, you know, racetrack, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So they came out this week after the announcement and they said, quote, "We were unaware of plans to incorporate our imagery as part of today's announcement. Consistent with our approach to public policy and political issues, we are communicating our preference that our intellectual property not be utilized moving forward in relation to this matter." In other words, put the brakes, said to the pits, like they don't want anything to do with it. But I don't know that you're going to get a say in that, Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Well, you know what? At least they're standing up and saying their piece. Like, even if this does happen, like, we don't agree with it, we're not good with it. And that is nice to hear from, I don't know, racing people, you know, a community that's often filled with MAGA crowds, you know.
It's definitely more blue-collar world. And they joined the long list of musicians that have also had to say after the fact, hey, you didn't ask for permission, and I wouldn't have given it to you, so stop using my intellectual property, my copywritten stuff. Like, you know, that is a law. You're not allowed to just violate copyright laws, yet the Trump world, like so many other laws, it's like, we will ask for forgiveness if you're lucky. We will never ask for permission. And they don't even ask for forgiveness. When have you ever heard Trump apologize for something? So they just don't ask. That's all it is.
Yeah. We always heard that in broadcasting school. Like, it's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. And that's exactly how they look at things. So,
yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. That's a full week. I still got 10 more things we could talk about, but, you know.
Got so many more things to talk about. But, hey, that's enough depressing news for 1 week in the U.S. of A. So we thank you for joining us.
Hey, some real quick good news. We discovered water on Mars, so life used to exist on Mars. That's cool. There's also an unidentified object coming towards Earth that is on a trajectory towards us. It's going to get here in early December. Some scientists think it is a non-organic thing coming our way. FYI.
Could be the next Republican candidate for president, dude. We don't know.
That's all we need is some charismatic. Well, no, he would be an illegal alien, so that would never fly.
It wouldn't work, dude. He wouldn't never be white.
Maybe he could run for Democrats, though. We're fine with all that. So if you're a charismatic alien coming to Earth by December, then come on down. We could use some new talent in the pool.
New ideas, yeah. All right, guys. Well, as always, we appreciate you listening and checking out the podcast. Thanks for all your comments. Check out our social medias and our webpage as well.
Yep, thevocalminority.net. You can find our individual pages on YouTube and TikTok and all those kinds of things. And then, we're part of the Really American team here, so check out the short form videos. Check out our podcast on the live tab and all the other shows. It's a great lineup we got going on here, so browse around and have fun.
Subscribe to the page and have a fantastic weekend. Have a fantastic weekend all.
And we say bye-bye.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.